You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? This your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman, and you are tuned in to another episode of the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. This is a continuation from the last episode about teenage responsibility. I had to play the whole thing to see how we got to that conversation with all the R. Kelly talk and whatnot, but it ended up being a great conversation. I'm just talking about the whole thing about teenagers and what they can handle and stuff like that. This one, we're continuing the discussion. We get into how much you should share with your kids, how early should you talk to them, things like that. And then we get into the idea of moving abroad, moving your family abroad, traveling outside of the U.S., and, why black folk don't seem to want to leave the country. So thanks again for taking the time out to listen, and I hope you enjoy the show.
What is the change then at this table? Because there are a lot of bright minds here. If I could ask us, what does that change look like for those of us here who are parents or going to become parents? What does that look like? What is breaking that cycle look like for us in 2015?
I've chose to raise my daughter a little bit differently than my mother raised me. My mother chose to be the angelic figure in my life. She chose me not to tell. She didn't tell me her dirt. She didn't tell me about all the shit she did growing up. She didn't go through that with me. I chose to raise my daughter differently, but because I'm a single mother, I realized that I want her to know the truth about what I've done, what I've been through, what we're going through. And a lot of my friends don't agree with me. For example, I smoke weed. My daughter knows what medical marijuana, we talk about those things. She know you can't talk about that at school. She know, but I feel like she's intelligent enough for me to have that conversation. She's six.
Wow.
So we have that conversation. And a lot of, like I said, my aunt completely doesn't agree with it. But my child could have a conversation with you about marijuana.
Interesting.
But a lot of people, just like, I'm not necessarily going to sit at, I'm not going to sit on the couch and watch Empire with her. But I will have a conversation with her about Empire. I'll have a conversation with her about what everybody else in the office is talking about or what everybody else around her is talking about. She is not going to be ignorant and oblivious and living in a bubble,
right.
Not knowing.
And I agree because I agree.
I have an uncle that's gay. We talk about that.
And I agree because I appreciate parents who tell their kids, like, this is your body. This is who should not be touched. These are all people who can touch your body. Like, because you got to get it clear. Like, nobody touches this body. Nobody. And this is what this is. And this is, and put it in terms that yeah, exactly. And put it in terms.
I don't believe in
it. You're a gift from God. And he chose you. You're adopted. And, it doesn't matter that. Hiding stuff from kids, I'm definitely
not
a fan of hiding stuff from kids. But I'm also a fan of allowing kids to be kids. And
what does that mean?
I don't know.
We redefine it.
I'm not a parent, so I had no idea.
Right. I can speak to that. But see, okay, because Darylin, you and I have similar situations. My mother very much and still is the angelic figure in my family. And when it comes down to her dirt, I'd be going on record saying my mama probably has very little dirt just based on the kind of person who she is. The biggest dirt was probably just dealing with my father, who was on the opposite end of the spectrum her. But as far as like letting a kid be a kid, so We choose to raise our children being very, very honest, too. We don't do a whole lot of shucking and jiving and making shit up and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Eli can believe what he wants to believe as far as fantasy shit, as far as kids is concerned. So Santa Claus, whatever. That's fine. At this point in his life, he has a very idealistic opinion of people who are police officers, construction workers. They're all here to help us. Right. And that, so when he sees them on the street,
mommy, he's like, mommy,
he's waving. Yeah.
You know, and for the most part, they wave back to him.
Yeah, and I don't want to break that from him now.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to be like, don't wave at them pigs. That's one time, son. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because he has no idea.
But once he starts asking.
Because when a kid is old enough to ask, then they're old enough for you to reveal the truth to them.
Exactly.
I would allow them to be kids as long.
Yeah,
as
but I know married. At some point with the way stuff is going, he's gonna see. We're gonna watch some news. He's gonna see a kid get shot by some cops because it's been happening. It's been happening the last 400 years. Right. It's gonna happen, and he'll be like, "Why did they kill him?" So it's like, okay, now I have to go and explain this.
Yeah,
and that's fine. Like I'm nervous because we have
smart kids.
We have one of each, a boy and a girl, and I want to try to figure out how much information I can tell them that applies to both of them equally. I don't want to be like that whole thing where, oh, my son, he can go fuck whoever he want to fuck. It don't matter. But my daughter, you can't fuck nobody.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to raise both of them like that. I just want to raise both of them. You be careful.
And the funny thing is, yeah, and the thing is, I try to have these conversations with Eli now about certain things, which is funny. Chris always is like, here go mommy, like, man, really?
You talking about dating already? Shit.
Taking the conversation too far. But he'll talk about, you know, like, there's been a little girl in his class that he's liked for a couple of years. I mean, and when he was in kindergarten, he really just had, like, stars in his head. He was like, she has such pretty hair, and I just want to touch her hair. She's so pretty. Now he's transitioned into the girls are kind of yucky face, so he's like, she's all right. You know what I mean? But I would ask him different questions. And I talk to him like when different things come up. And I'm like, you know what, honey? When you grow up and you start dating, don't do this, don't do that. Or ask mommy and daddy about this and ask. And he'll look at me. And sometime I can tell it's just going smooth over his head. And he's just listening and being sweet and like, okay, mommy. Then he'll go back to whatever it was he was doing. But there's other times he'll ask follow-up questions so I know he's processing. Because one time, Chris, he came home and asked me, he said, mommy, what's a date? Why do girls want dates? That let me know somebody at his school
had been talking
was
about
talking
it.
About it. So I tried to explain to him what a date was.
But he's at the thing is, he's at an elementary school. So he might be, he's around
5th and 6th grade.
I know, but I'm just always trying to comprehend if it's like if kids are just getting smarter or we had our own version of that.
No,
or
we had our own version.
My kindergarten teacher was married to my principal when I was in, and I went and asked her, and I put two and two together. Her last name was Hansen. His last name was Hansen. So I said, Miss Hansen, is Mr. Hansen your man? And she said, and she obviously got a kick out of it because I can think of it as an adult, like she was playing me. She said, I don't know, go ask him. So she sent me to the principal's office to him. And I said, Miss Hansen told me to come here and ask you, are you her man? And he started laughing. And he said, why? And I said, because you guys both have the last name Hansen. And he said, she's my wife. And I said, I knew. And I went back to kindergarten and went back to my class like, yeah.
You can see little Toria.
Same last name. Mm-hmm. I, you know,
so yeah, that lets you know how she was raised.
Was five, and it was like midway through, and I was like, wait a minute, they have the same last name. And I raised my hand in class and said, Miss Hansen, is Mr. Hansen your man? And I remember that little white lady busting up laughing, and she said, I don't know, go ask him. And it was a private school, so it wasn't that big. She said, I don't know, go ask him.
Now let me bring up my first grade story. So I was in first grade, there was Miss Knutson. And she, older white lady with curly hair. Right.
Knutson.
It was probably Knutson, but we all call her Knutson. Knutson.
Black kids.
S-E-N. Then there was Mr. Fox. So Miss Knutson was first grade. She was first grade teacher. And Mr. Fox was a fourth grade teacher. But he was dark as the night that covered us. So they were so the contrast was like black
white.
Oh,
yeah,
she was
white.
Like, and they were older.
Cottage cheese, white.
No, you know, at 32nd Street, we weren't as brilliant and smart as the children at Toria School. So we didn't go up to the teachers boldly. We just talked about behind the scenes. In first grade, you know what I'm saying? By the time we got to the second, third grade, we realized, are they dating? And sure enough, they have been dating for years. But you know, it's like as a kid, you have intuition, and you have some sense of things, which is why it's even more and more important for us to just be aware of everything that kids are taking in. That your eyes, that they're not only are we visual learners, we're audible learners. Everything, the perception, everything is so heightened, and to me, that is where your environment, your community, everything is so critical to, like today I was looking outside my window and I saw some kids playing in the neighbor's backyard. And I don't know, for some reason I had this scenario, like, because they were playing with the dog and the little boy, he must have been like 2 years old. He was like smacking the dog because the dog was in his seat and he was like hitting the dog. And the dog finally went away. No, it wasn't that big. It was just a 2-year-old, Leisha. Please, calm down. The dog is a German Shepherd. So, humans before animals. Come on now. Another topic. Another podcast. Another podcast. But then I thought to myself. I said, Would I have like jumped in? Like, if something happened, would I have yelled? Would I have been like, you know, would I have been a community member and tried to help that kid if something happened to the dog? I started biting the dog. Like, I was like thinking, like, we're not gonna have that conversation right now. I do not want to get angry. I do not do dogs over humans. You got to be lost your mind.
Do not do dogs over humans.
Don't start, Leisha. We go on the roll right now, and that's another podcast. Next podcast. Ooh, Jesus! Wait, I'm trying to make is that as a community member, I just feel like there are moments where we have to realize as a community member, we have a
German Shepherd is more important than our killing, though.
Listen, here's something that I recognize as someone who was raised by a single mother. I've learned, and it took me a while to learn it, that children of single parents tend to grow up faster than children in two-parent households. And it's just you know, the automatic divvying up of responsibility ends up going to, and they wear it well. Children of only parents, like, or of single parents, wear it well. They know, you know, how to help out, and they're self-sufficient a lot quicker than children of a two-parent household. Right. And I would like to think that if I were to be a single parent, that I would afford my child, I would endeavor to give my child the freedom of not having any adult responsibilities, of like, you know, not knowing how to make a pot of rice at 8 or 10. You know what I mean? Like,
you're gonna learn to make some bologna.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no, and I know one thing is that with parenting, there's no right or wrong or one way to do things. But as someone who, I guess in hindsight, and this is not an indictment or anything, I think someone who grew up quickly, and if I had my druthers, I would have stayed a child far longer than I was a quote-unquote child. I know that I would try to, even if I were a single parent, I would try to afford that, whatever it is. And I don't know what it is, because like when your kid comes to you, start asking questions, and clearly your kid is ready to have the truth, you know, be imparted. But I would aspire to that.
As we're talking about parenting choices, I want to take the conversation into a different direction. I think I texted you all, or we had a Facebook thread conversation about this idea of thinking globally in regards to our kids, because there was an article that came up that said, why don't more black people move abroad? Mm. instead of dealing with the sort of victimization that we're experiencing now, why don't we look to the past where there have been moments where Black folks have fled America because they felt like this wasn't a safe place and moved abroad and found a better experience, a better life, better conditions for themselves. I know something that is a personal goal for me is to try to expose my children to travel outside the U.S. as soon as humanly and financially possible so that they understand that this isn't the only place for them. I think a lot of times Black folk feel like this is where we're supposed to be. The trip across the water was it, and now we're here, and it can't get no better. And I mean, of course, I think our generation doesn't suffer from that, but I think generations past do. And so I think, for us, I know that's an experience that we want to offer our children. But I want to know what you all think about that. Like when all this Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, like instead of us marching in the street, why are there not more conversations about like mass exodus?
Well, I'm telling you right now, if that became the agenda for Black people, America would fall apart. And
completely.
That's what's interesting about this as an idea, because I think about that about immigration reform. And I'm like, you guys are not kicking Mexicans out of America. The economy would it's a complete joke.
Yeah.
It's the majority of folks they talk about are Mexicans. They're not talking about Colombians or no. That's not politically correct. That's no, the real. Mexico is a country.
Okay, go ahead.
And Guatemala is one of the
Mexico and Guatemala.
Okay. All right. My brothers and sisters of the Latino origins, Hispanic as well, non-white.
Check mark next to that.
So the point that I think is important is that are we ready? I mean, there are people here who, you know, we're in L.A. They live in neighborhoods where they see planes fly over them every day. I've never been on a plane
to
Oakland. And so
never been to the beach
or never been to the beach.
How
so
there's,
live there, in LA.
Again, this goes back to mindset and what are we taught and what are people, you know what I mean? I am with Kimmy on this one. I'm all about that expat life. If it's God's will for my family to get away, cause I would love to retire, not in America. I would love to not retire here. And I'm serious because my thing is my life. I don't want to be dependent on the hustle of capitalism, and when I want to be able to
race.
The rat race of, I mean, I see older people get along really well in this country, but I'm like, no, I would kind of like my retirement to be chilling, walking down the street, and they're like, hey, Mr. Darryl, I'm like, how you doing? I got my little spot, my wife and I, with the kids is gone. I mean,
Germany is giving free tuition to any American who wants to attend a university, college there. Free, and you know, in a lot of in most parts of Europe, college education is subsidized by the government. You don't have to take out.
Is Germany Black friendly? That's the only thing I have.
No,
because there are parts of Eastern Europe that are not Black friendly.
Well,
do not take your Black butt to Russia.
Most of all,
you will not have a very good experience.
Most of all of Europe is African American friendly. Now, Black friendly being
an
immigrant from African or the Caribbean is a whole nother animal.
Really?
I
also
but
just
my,
want to say, okay,
go ahead. No.
I just want to point out though that I think sometimes people have idealistic. Just like people are
that's
very
true.
Idealistic about coming to America, they're idealistic about leaving America.
Yeah.
Because
right,
I was watching something and they were talking about what was going on in Paris with Hebdo.
Jesuit Charlie.
Okay. And they did an interview.
Racist.
And I thought to myself, like, the way they were talking, what they were saying, what the apartment complex looked like behind them. Baby, that was the hood. Okay? They have the hood. The hood exists everywhere. They have ghettos.
They got Crips over there. I watched a documentary on Crips.
So I think that, not that, I have no problem with travel. I would like to stop working and just travel. I would love for everyone in my family to be able to travel. But I don't want anyone to be idealistic about what it means to move someplace else. I mean,
I agree.
Under what construct? You got to be honest, and I know she wants to speak, but I just want to be careful about this idea of what. I don't believe that no land has control over me and where I can go and where I can live, right? So my thing is, yes, the life we have in this country is beautiful, but the life you may have in another country may also be beautiful. I remember when I was younger, I used to think I could not live anywhere else but America. I could live. And then I remember when I went to Barbados and I was like, I can live here forever. I don't care. I haven't worried about anything. If my diet changes, so be it. If my trade changes, so be it. I'm like, I'm just as free. I was like, so I just want to be careful. I agree with what you're saying. There's no need to look at things with a rose-colored lenses. But I also want to be careful that once you start traveling abroad, particularly as a black person, you just start to realize that this is not, just like Marcus Garvey taught us, this is not the only great white hope for us. No. And no country should be that. I feel like you should, wherever you want to stake your claim as a human being, you can go make it wherever you want to try.
Yeah, I think that, but I think that there's something, I mean, I agree 100%. I think there's something like unique about being black also, though, like in America, like the experience, and there's nowhere else do black people exist? I mean, in the African American sense, like the experience, what we descend from, our experience. And so in that sense, it's sort of like being homeless. Cause I mean, I know I don't feel completely at home in America, even though like I was having this weird like epiphany about like blue blooded Americans. And like, I think if you can trace like your ancestry back to like, let's say like the Mayflower, you know, like you would be considered like, you know, a blue blood American, but I'm like, black people can trace our history back just as far. Okay. Like we are as American as anything else, you know? Right. And so I'm like, just like they can trace it back, we can trace it back longer than a lot of white people can trace their history back, whose parents are immigrants, whose grandparents are great, you know, like we're talking far. And I was just thinking about like in elementary school when you had to do those projects, like your background. And I would always struggle because obviously half is like Africa, like that's the extent of what I could say. But even on my white side, like my great grandma was born in Boston. So they're just very like American. And you can't really say American ever. It's just weird. Like we don't allow that. You have to have like a place also. No matter how long you've been here. Yeah. So it's just weird. It's just a weird experience. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just a very unique.
White Americans don't have to do that as much, right?
No, they don't.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, you know, they just say, like, England or something.
No, they're pretty loyal to their
own. One thing I can say is the best gift my mom ever gave me was the gift of travel. Like, at an early age. I had my first passport at 8. And we saw the world, and that was a mission of her. And my youngest brother had a passport he wasn't even one, you know, and he had a passport. And I think once you see the world and you realize that there's a way of being that is outside of just the African American, our tribal experience. Like, oh, right. There's other tribes, yes, that love us, that we're kind of have a through line with, whether they're in the Caribbean, like it feels familiar, like they're not completely us. No, they're different, but there's a connection there, whether it be the Caribbean or Africa or the hoods, the banlieue, the ghettos in France. Or you realize, or even Mexico. I mean, even going to in LA, you know, we would drive down to as simple as Rosarita Beach. And you realize like there's a world out there. And so for that, I'm completely on par with Kim saying that more people should consider expatriation as a alternative, because really African-Americans around the world are considered, people have an idealized version of us. They think we are the cultural ambassadors of hip.
We are, by the way.
Like from jazz to hip hop to whatever. Like they like, you know,
they
appreciate. And the appreciation in some ways is surface. In some ways it's surface. Like I've gone to towns. And as a black man, they'll be like, do you know LL Cool J? Do you know Jay-Z? You're like, no, I don't know these people.
You know what's interesting,
it is
too,
offensive,
is
but
we have a friend who works in education, and they were saying that black kids and white kids, whatever, they kind of start off on track, and then there's a point where the black kids start to fall, or poor both start to fall back. And they couldn't figure out, oh no, it was black. And they couldn't, and I was like, oh, is it, you know, this, that, or the other? And they said, no, these white kids travel. So on their summer vacation, they don't stick around the house watching TV. They're leaving the country. They're going to Grand Canyon. They're doing something. And so that exposure, that travel, that summer vacation changes the way they think. And it like matures them in a way that sitting at home watching TV can't.
But I do want to say, though, for much of my travel and the exposure it gave me, I don't think it made me better than African Americans who stayed in California their entire life and were in like the Winnebago with their grandparents. You know, sometimes there's or going to the South. There's something about having a strong family.
That's traveling.
Or no. How about this? Or just staying with their grandparents, having a strong family unit over the summer and having people who love for them and care for them and had like, yeah, having
hold
roots.
On, time out. Hold on. I said, like, this is a general statement about what can, and I think if you can afford it in any way possible, I think you should travel. There's nothing wrong with traveling to see your grandmother. There is nothing wrong with spending part of your summer, you know, at home. I'm not dismissing the value of any, like, first of all, every experience you have in your life will give you some value depending on a variety of things. But I do think that it's very important for kids on their summer breaks, on their spring breaks, to be doing something, not sitting at home watching TV. And I don't know if I can break from that.
I agree.
Unfortunately, there is a financial part of that unfortunately right. Folks have to.
No, I agree with what you were saying. What I want to do is go back to us exiting America. And I agree with her because so much of my independence and my ability to not be scared to do anything was the fact that I knew my family was in Detroit. And so, you know, my grandmother and grandfather came from Mississippi like in the 40s. And my grandmother had 8 kids. And all 8 kids have stayed in Detroit. Like, I'm the only grandchild that ever left. It's amazing. Wow. But I feel like my non-fear of life is because I knew they was going to be there. So some of us got to stay. Some of us need to stay because we have to have those roots. We can't all leave. You know what I mean?
The whole family
and
moves,
this country
though.
Is our country. We have built as much of this... What? You don't agree?
What are you saying?
First of all, don't get brand new. You know that what I'm saying is the truth because she's saying some of us got to stay.
Right.
And I'm saying that some of us got
to
stay because...
I'm not saying everybody needs to leave home.
Don't you start with me now. Don't you start.
You started it. No, the conversation started with, well, how come after Ferguson, we're not all... That was the question, right?
It was,
right.
Yes. You
were pointing
right.
out the difference between where our different experiences as adolescents start to taper off.
Right, and that is...
We put more value on, as black people, this is from my experience growing up in the hood, and how we look and what shoes our kids are wearing than taking a trip to Geauga Lake or, you know, Chicago to catch some theater for the... I mean, that's just what I grew up with, but I've been traveling now, since I was 11, and it made a difference.
I'm not trying to force somebody who can't afford to buy food to travel. I'm not being unrealistic, but there are people whose limited travel is not because of finances.
It's because they don't want to go. It's not part of the culture.
They're mentally locked into their 4-block radius, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think generationally, too, because I just know, like, summer was the time to be going to the South to take the trip.
Yes.
When you said Detroit, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. Like, either summer or Christmas, Detroit and to Jackson, Mississippi. And I wasn't the only child that experienced that. And I grew up in the hood. You know what I mean? And everybody was like, I knew the United States just because of my block, because it was like the Robersons, they're from Texas, the Hines, they're from Arkansas, the family next door. So I knew the United States because of the roots that were on my block. And when they went missing for 2 or 3 weeks in the summer, that's where they were. And when you saw strangers on the block, them were the folks that was from Arkansas, Mississippi. Right. And strangers on the block that were welcomed, you know?
Now, here's the question I have for everyone, kind of a survey. With the world being as small as it is, with you being able to catch a flight to New York with a swiftness, or to Detroit, and, you know, even to England or to Germany or France or Barbados, Bahamas. How many of you guys are willing to put your family aside, whether, you know, they're in Detroit or in Jamaica, and move to a different country if you thought if you knew you were going to make more money, and if you knew that your child or your children would have a better upbringing, better education?
Sign me up.
That's a yes from Darylin.
Yes.
That's a yes.
And
wait,
when you say put the family aside, well, you can never see them.
I mean, no. I meant just move.
It would be hard.
Have they been banished? To the Underground Railroad?
Like,
I mean,
like I'm gone, but they can come too.
Move far away from the family. No, they're scared. Your family might be scared. Your family, like, we ain't as continental as you is, baby. We gonna stay right here.
Family will come. And
why is there a grandmother who talks?
You know, and like anything, it takes one to set the tone, and it may take years to get Aunt Ruthie to come down.
It may take you. And you know, setting base there and them visiting and you to see what it's like. Yeah,
we ain't all got to be. Willing. I don't want us all to be in the same place anyway.
You be willing?
Yeah.
Shelby, is that a yes?
It's a maybe. Only reason why it's a maybe is because I have a sick relative. And so I'm not sure if right now I'm a pickup.
Right, right.
But if she were healthy, yes, she'd want to come.
But would you go by yourself without her?
Without who?
I'm sorry. She'd want me to go. Sorry. I said that wrong. She'd want me to go. But right now, she doesn't, and she's sick, and so no.
Okay. And Malcolm, that's a yes for you?
It's definitely a yes. I will say this, that it's very interesting because right now, in this part of my life, as many at this table know, I just lost my father. And I do have a different... I have a different look on how important it is to be with your family.
Right.
And so, like my grandparents, I am so blessed to have two grandparents in their 80s. Mm-hmm. And my mother...
They're here in California?
They're in, San Diego. Shout out to the Dallas family. And I will say, when I was gone in grad school on the East Coast, it was very hard for them, me not being around. And when I got back, the major reason why I didn't take work on the East Coast of New York is because I was like, there's always going to be a job, but I'm never going to get that my grandparents if they pass and I won't have them. So for me, depending on the scenario and depending on, you know, because, I mean, the perfect scenario is can I bring them with me? But I already know these country black people are not coming to no Paris, France with me. So given that scenario, yes, I would take that offer. But if it meant, like, you have to leave them behind for 5 to 6 years, like, you only get to see them, then it's not worth it to me because I'm like, yeah, I could be in Paris and have all this stuff, but I'm like, I want my kids to be around their grandparents. Like, that's more important than them. You know, we can work through everything else. Black people have always worked through it. But I'm like, when you don't have your roots, when you don't have elders, I was watching I'm sorry, I don't want this to go about be a conversation about elders, but I was watching a clip about with Queen Latifah, and she had Cicely Tyson, Vanessa Williams, and Blair Underwood on, and she was giving some sage advice, and she said, if there's one thing I could tell young people, she said, you need to go spend time with elders. You need to be around them. You need to sit under them. You need to ask them questions. Because once they're gone, we don't have that anymore.
Right.
And the thing about it is our elders are different from the kind of elders we'll be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My grandparents grew up in Houma, Louisiana, Jim Crow South. So that's a whole different wisdom, a whole different way of looking at the world. And I'm like, I don't want to miss out on that as long as I have it. So, yes to your question, the caveat being that if it meant I'd have to leave behind that, then it wouldn't be worth it.
But you would, and I mean, in essence, you would be visited twice a year, but you would kind of be leaving it behind.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just, you know, going back and forth, that's nothing. I agree, if I had to leave my mom, it would be hard.
It's hard to raise a kid if you don't have grandparents, even to babysit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, folks who you trust to keep your kids when you need them.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
And you want them to experience grandparents if they have them.
That's it would be difficult, but for Kim, it would be an automatic yes. She would say,
yeah. And and my kid can have a free and a better education, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if it would be right, but if it's a right, but if it's a job, if I get more money and it's a better life for them, I'm out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ain't. I gotta go.
Do I have the money to come back to California? Is visit it? My
yeah.
Anytime?
Yeah.
Like every holiday we want to come back?
Christmas and Easter. Not every holiday. Christmas and Easter, and your kids can come during the summer. Yeah,
not the American holidays. You be back like every damn 3 months.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Well, you know. Here goes the definition of wishy washy flip flop. My answer says that go.
They take better vacations than we do. Well, I was just going to say, I think it also depends on how you were raised, because I was raised with two parents that were the only people to leave their family. We were all alone in California. My grandparents were in Chicago and New York my entire life growing up. So the concept of leaving is very familiar for me. Like, it's not a big deal to not be near my family because I've never lived near them. So, and I mean, even now, my mom, I don't live near either. So my sister lives in New York. My mom's in the Bay Area. Like, we're already separated. It's just weird. It's just that's how I was raised. So it's not something that I think about.
My mom
brought
everybody here. And see, my mom moved to.
I would, but it's like it's not something that I have ever imagined. You know what I mean? Like, that's never how I've imagined living, because I didn't live near my grandparents. So it was like, I've never thought of that as like a non-negotiable for my kids, because I wasn't raised that way. So it's just a different way of thinking of it. But, you know, but I think being near your family is awesome. To me, it's a complete privilege.
Yeah, it is a privilege. Like, having a kid and not being by, when I think about single mothers who don't have family in town, it's like, what do you do?
Trust your friends.
That's how I grew up. That's how I grew up.
That seems like work.
It was. But when you're out of town, your friends become your family. You understand that. So you got to trust somebody.
But you trust somebody, but.
You ain't trusting sometimes trust your mama.
But like you can leave the grandkid at your mama's house for 2 days. You can't do that with
2 weeks.
Right. You can't do that 2 weeks. Right.
Oh no, yes you can. I mean,
with some friends, it's more you know how I make friends, Toria.
Tash, are you telling us you're not to be trusted with children?
No, I'm saying that you don't have carte blanche to leave your kid with me for 2 weeks. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so this is about you.
Okay, first of all.
Some
grandparents. Right. I'm like, whose parents are taking the kid for 2 weeks like that, and they live local and send you back home?
Yeah, my grandmama sent us back home all the time. She was like, y'all are great for a weekend.
Weekend, and then you have to go back home.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.